I went through quite a few questions with Andrew, and he's great. He answered most of the questions. Some of them I wanted to dig into a little bit more detail on. Maybe we can just run through those?
Yeah, sure, man. Let's jump into it.
Pretty straightforward. The first one is how you set up landing pages. And so it's kind of a twofold question, is the concept of landing pages and the degree to which they are isolated from the site. That's kind of one aspect of the question. The other is, which I think has some overlap, which is, what do you consider to be the most important metric that you track, and how do you track it?
Okay, sure. Yeah, so I can give you like the annoying, I'll give you like the annoying client answer, and then I'll give you the more technical answer. So that
okay.
Because I'm sure you've had like very similar conversations. So the annoying answer is like, of course, it depends on the client, right? It depends on like what they have already. And so like there's some people, you know, so basically like all we do is investors, right? And so in the investing space, there's like all these kind of like custom CRMs and like, you know, there's like REI Black Book and Investor Carrot and like all these like companies that do out-of-the-box stuff, right? Yeah. And so a lot of the times, people are going to come to us with those programs intact. They're going to want to use those. And so largely it's like, okay, we'll just, if you feel strongly about it, especially in the beginning, we'll sort of start off with whatever they have as a default, right? So, you know, there's kind of that. If they don't have that or they don't have a strong opinion about it, we do have a fairly standard process that we'll go through, right? So typically first month or so, we're going to start by running to more or less whatever their default page is for this kind of lead. So like investors, you know, they're 99% of the time, they're entirely focused on motivated seller leads, right? And yep. So a lot of their websites are going to have parts of the site that are focused on motivated sellers. Some people are going to have parts of their site that are focused on buyers or like some other piece of the investing ecosystem or whatever. So we're just going to go with whatever makes sense for sellers. And a lot of time that's their homepage, right? And I've got no problem. In fact, usually I will suggest running traffic straight to the homepage for the first month. And that is largely because we use it to set a baseline conversion rate for the site as a whole, right? So basically what I want to know is like, hey, whatever you have as a design, whatever you've built up over time, if you have something, how does it convert with this level of traffic? Because we run very similar campaigns nationwide, I have a sense of what the national average conversion rate for this kind of traffic is going to be. And knowing what their baseline is tells me if they're above or below that national baseline. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
They're kind of like... Yeah, so give me a sense of like what I want to do. Because a lot of times, like if they have a website that does really well, I'm like, for this market specifically, I would put about 10% as a conversion rate as being good, 7% as being about average, anything below that as being an issue, right? Yep. So if they're converting like 15% off our sort of beginner campaign, which is pretty standardized, I'm like, oh, awesome. Like, I don't have to worry about this.
When you talk about this conversion rate, specifically you're talking about what part of the conversion?
Just the AdWords traffic. And for us, we count conversion rate primarily as form fills, but we do also call tracking as well. Right.
Right. So and how are you doing call tracking if you're using the homepage?
Yeah, so the way that we'll do that is we will use CallRail's the primary service that we use, although some people have different ones that are for specific call tracking. And what we'll do is rather than change the numbers, which is the sort of classic way to do it, but of course then your organic, your paid leads are mingled together, what we do is we put JavaScript on the page. And so essentially what happens is someone clicks through from AdWords and only from AdWords, they get planted with the AdWords cookie. The JavaScript detects that cookie and then dynamically swaps out the number on the page for a tracking number that's unique to that ad. So typically we'll have a pool of like 8 to 10 local numbers. Then we can pass that call information into Google Analytics and from Google Analytics pull it into AdWords as an AdWords-specific conversion.
Got it.
So typically we're tracking, you know, calls over 30 seconds or so. I think it's 30 seconds. So typically that's how we're doing that, right? So I'm just looking at the AdWords conversion rate. Usually I'm not looking at the organic stuff at all unless somebody wants us to, which isn't super common. So we're talking about landing pages. So once we set a baseline, basically the decision is like, when do we want to tackle landing page stuff? Because split testing on landing pages for this market is actually less effective, I think, than if you look at the utility of conversion optimization as a whole, because for whatever reason, the leads for this niche are highly motivated in the moment, right? So if the lead's highly motivated, you kind of have to work hard to get them to go away. And so really what we're talking about is optimizing for people that are like not super motivated, but like maybe they're motivated to sell. And like those are the people that are primarily swayed by traditional conversion optimization stuff. And so it's sort of like a sort of edge case where it's super, super important. Like some markets, landing page is the core issue and we have to dive into it right away. Other markets, it's more about keyword selection, bid optimization, cost per lead, stuff like that. And so we kind of put it off for a couple months. But typically our approach to that is we're either going to work within the site itself. So when that happens, usually we're not doing a whole lot of landing page stuff if it's their site. Like we're not going to mess with their homepage or anything a whole lot. If landing page issues are sort of a core issue, like if we sort of look at the data and say, hey, like all your numbers are awesome except your conversion rate, typically at that point we're going to put them on, we call it the landing page engine. Really all it is a custom WordPress install that runs on our server. Typically we'll set it up using a subdomain, so it's like if your website's like sellmyhouseutah or whatever.com, it's going to be like try.sellmyhouseutah.com.
Got it.
All those pages are no indexed. There's typically no navigation or connection between the core site and the landing pages. A lot of times we'll have, sometimes we'll link back to the homepage. So you can go from a landing page to the homepage if you want. But usually we're not going to allow that navigation at all. And that's because we want it 100% separate, right?
Obviously, from an organic point of view, to gain some value out of the AdWords campaign, having the people that want to look around the site, get to know that company a bit more, maybe see their about page, there's value in them being able to migrate to the main site if they're not an immediate conversion.
Yes. Well, so sometimes, right? So, and right. This is where we start to get into like sort of specific strategic cases, right? So
right.
Typically, if they're not converting on the first page, the conversion rate for the audience as a whole is going to really drop. And it's not that it drops to nothing. It just drops off a lot, right? So sometimes we do it, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we'll do like, okay, so rather than do a landing page, maybe we'll do like a mini site approach. So we got like three or four pages sort of tied together.
So I'd say the trackable conversion rate may drop, but there's the cliche 9 times. A lot of clients will visit the online real estate of a particular company before they finally make the decision to make the phone call.
Right. And so we are still
multiple times over time, right? So
gotcha.
They might look at it, might see the landing page, think about it, want to talk to their wife, come back a bit later, go there, then try and learn a bit more, see if there are reviews for that business. So over time, they might be touching a local listing and seeing the reviews, and that's particularly true on a local business where reviews for the business impact the conversion rate. But the problem with that is it's much harder to track because you've got to try and track it back to the original entry point.
Yeah, so, I mean, we can attribute, right? So usually when we're setting up conversion tracking, we're going to set up the attribution in some ways so let's say someone clicks on the AdWords ad, like I said, so like land on the site, they click on the about page, they're like interested, they bounce off, they go to like Google+, they look at the reviews, they talk to their wife, they come back 2 weeks later, then they convert.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can still track that back to AdWords, whether they come back to the landing page or not. That's a view-through conversion, and it is trackable.
Yeah, I mean, assuming they've used the same device, and assuming they've used the same browser, and assuming they haven't cleaned the cache and cookies from their browser, right?
Right. Yeah. So there's always going to be some percentage of people you're gonna lose attribution on. But I don't.
We're seeing a lot of crossover between, you know, people will do part of their search on their computer, and then when they finally take action, they've done it from their cell phone.
Yeah, that's certainly true. And of course, I don't know what I don't know, right? So that certainly could be the case. I think in general, sort of like the primary difference, at least that we notice in this industry specifically, is that there's way less of that, right? So, you know, the way we kind of think about it is we always talk about, like, the bullseye, right? So it's like you've got the rings of the bullseye as they go out, right? So the center ring is where most of the money in this industry is going to be, and that's, like, the people that convert the first time. And typically the behavior you see is, like, they've clicked the top 3 to 5 entries, whether they're ads or organic, and they're filling out every form, like, right away,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's, like, the person that's like, I need to sell my house tomorrow. Right.
Right.
Now, the longer game, which is kind of like what you're talking about, which is like sort of the next ring in the circle where they're motivated, but they're not like, my house is on fire, I need to sell it now. Right. They're like, I'm thinking about selling my house, which is like sort of like the more normal behavior. I think that's totally possible. And like typically, you know, the way we're going to try to attack that is primarily through retargeting. But it is true, like, if they're jumping a bunch of devices or whatever, we will lose kind of attribution for that.
The thing I wanted to get at is that it sounds like you don't see that it's going to damage your landing pages if there is at least a link to the homepage. So they have, within that structure of your landing page, they're going to have the ability to dig around if they go that path. So, or would you see simply a link to the home page as distracting from the landing page in some way?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes and sometimes not, right? So typically we'll link to the home page, like we'll link the logo or something, right?
So you wouldn't have home. Like,
no, not typically. So almost, if I'm paying for traffic, I'm almost never going to give them a link to something that isn't a dedicated landing page. And it's not so much that I actually care about the organic piece. So like, for example, like a Investor Care, it's like a common sort of CRM or not a CRM, it's like a website package, right? And sort of their core design is that every page is going to have a landing page style opt-in box, right?
Right. Oh, totally.
And if that's the case, then yeah, like if that's the case, I'm cool with them bouncing around all they want. Right, because I'm gonna be able to track the conversion no matter what, and then I'm not worried that they're going to a place where it's gonna be harder to convert. Now, if someone like has a site that is like super content rich or is targeting a whole, you know, like some of these investors are targeting multiple states, right? So in that case, I'm almost never gonna send someone to that sort of like main hub of the site. So, I mean, I don't necessarily care either way, actually. Like, for me, it's like, I'm very agnostic about that kind of stuff. For me, it's just like, you know, do we see an issue with the page? If so, do we want to test something different? But I think you're right that it's like, it's certainly not a bad idea to let someone bounce around the page as long as it doesn't, you know, as long as we feel like, yeah, like, they can convert pretty much anywhere. So as long as that's the case, yeah, it's like bounce around and consume the content that they want to consume. And if it adds some percentage on a conversion, I think that's awesome.
Having a clear, dedicated, non-distracting, in context to the ad landing page is an obvious no-brainer. We don't want to distract people when they get there, and we want those people that have that immediate need and are willing to take action immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It's just in my experience, there is a significant portion of people that they'll have to go talk to their wife before they make a decision, you know. So, or some other thought process convolution that they will go through. And also the traffic adds value from an organic point of view when, you know, when they want to read more, when they want to learn more about the company, as against keeping it 100% isolated. I wouldn't want I wouldn't want to do anything that devalues the focus of the page. But at the same time, I want to give that audience the ability to be able to get to the rest of the site in a non-distracting way.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think that's totally fair.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's kind of the landing page component. So the metric that you track that you would consider to be the most important would be?
You mean for the landing page or just overall?
Just metric for the business, for the campaigns.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, that's another interesting thing. It kind of depends on what their goals are. I mean, for us, like the primary thing we're looking at is volume of leads, cost per lead. Actually, that's really it, volume of leads and cost per lead. The metric that obviously matters to the client that we don't have direct access to is close rate.
Right.
Which varies a little bit depending on market and client. You know, typically what, you know, nationally what we see from a paid traffic perspective is around 1 out of 20 leads being a contract or a deal under contract, or property under contract, I should say.
Right.
And so, you know, that's kind of the metric we're assuming, but we sort of at this point have to rely on client reporting to tell us, like, when they close and sort of put that number in perspective. But for us, it's like, you know, because we don't have direct access to cost per deal, it's volume of leads and cost per lead. All the other numbers, like, we use for management. So, like I said, like, we use conversion rate to determine, like, when we're getting into landing page optimization, or we'll use click-through rate or cost per click or something, you know, as a management tool. But in the end, none of that stuff, you know, none of our clients care about any of that stuff.
Right.
Right? It's like the perfect example. Like, I'm sure you guys get this from organic all the time. It's like, we'll get clients that are like very concerned with like their ad position. And it's like, I'm like, it doesn't matter. It's a meaningless number in the sense that like you could be number one and go broke because you're paying a 3x multiple on your cost per lead that is not, not justified by an increase in performance. Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah.
So for us, it's just like, how many leads do you want? Are you close to that number? Like, what did you pay to get those leads? Is that close to what you need? Are you closing deals? Like, what's the lead quality look like? And those are kind of the main things, at least for like.
Oh, and I think you nailed it, which is basically it's leads. Comes down to, and it's the volume of the leads, but the point you're making, which I think is a good one, which is what's the conversion rate, which tends to be an indicator on the quality of the lead. Are we getting leads for the right things? So if the conversion rate is very, very low, usually it's one or two things. It's either the sales organization aren't able to convert, or the lead slightly off in some way.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's hard to track that directly because you don't have direct access to that. So it's really volume of leads is the number one metric, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so it's, you know, it's like, if anything, like we actually aim for, you know, like our approach over time has really evolved to be, I think, actually pretty low volume compared to other folks, but it's higher close rate, right? Because like in the end, it's like no one even cares how many leads they got. They just care about how many deals they did, right?
Oh, yeah. I've taken over a site organically and been able to successfully reduce the amount of traffic they get.
So it's like, but you know, you're getting all adult searches, right? You do know that in your barbershop.
Exactly. Yeah, their lead rate goes up because they're actually getting the right type of traffic to their site. So, yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys get the. I used to get this all the time, where people would be like, "I want to be like number one in Google."
Oh yeah.
And I'd just be like, "I don't even know what that means anymore. It doesn't mean anything." And I have to have this like hour-long conversation where I explain like how the search results work, and it's like just this whole thing. So, yeah, man, it's like actually one of my favorite things about working with investors. Like, it's a complete non-BS business model, and it's like it's very clear. It's like you either did deals or you didn't. Right?
Yep.
So it's fun.
Cool. All right. So I want to go off on a different tack now, if I can. Dwight has seen some success using Facebook, and I understand that you also do that, or do you not?
Yeah. So we do. So we were beta testing our Facebook service the last quarter of last year, and we launched at the beginning of this year.
Right. So you're really just getting into the Facebook side of things then? That's what you're saying?
Yeah, for investors, for sure. Right. You know, it's like I primarily use Facebook for my own business, and I'd done a couple years straight of sort of like full-time Facebook management before we got into this space. I think Facebook in general for motivated sellers is very, it's not something that it's new, but I think in this space specifically, I haven't seen anyone that's really dialed it in 100% where that it's an actual replicable system. So, you know, it's one of these things where, you know, like we have a process we're very confident in, but it's still pretty new, I think, to the industry as a whole. I mean, it's like, it's funny, man, but it's like, you know, we started doing this about 2 years ago, solely focused on AdWords, and like, we were like the first people to do that, right? It was like, no one was really even doing AdWords, and I'm like, AdWords is like 20 years old at this point. Like, where have you guys been this whole time, right? And I think it's much the same with Facebook. It's like the industry is kind of late getting into new channels. So, yeah. So anyway, that's a little bit of a rambling answer, but.
So my question is, so with the Facebook, is that something that you personally are doing the AdWords campaign, or you would be doing the AdWords campaign for Simple House?
Yeah, we do everything in-house, and we're a team of four. So right. It's not necessarily me specifically doing everything. But we do all our work in-house. We don't outsource anything.
So what I was wondering was what your thoughts were in terms of how your approach for Facebook would differ from your approach to AdWords. How do you see the way in which you'd engage with Facebook? Or, you know, do you kind of have a – how would you characterize the difference?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting question. Okay. That is interesting. So the core principle is the same. Our business is completely based on a single core principle, which is we are hyper-focused on a narrow niche, and we do a ton of cumulative data analysis on that niche, right? So, for example, at this point when we launch an AdWords account, we have like millions and millions of data points from other investors running very similar accounts across every month and week from like the last 3 years and blah, blah, blah. We test not only at the individual account level, but at an agency level. And so that lets us shorten the feedback loop between test and sort of test result, right? So it's like place a hypothesis. We've got, you know, 15 clients that are running a similar sort of account structure. Let's put something in place for all of them, get the cumulative data very quickly, use the individual test data to sort of tweak their own accounts. But then going forward, now we've got some sort of average data point that we use to sort of tweak our approach. And that's like the overall sort of overriding concept of how we do this stuff. And that's the same. Right, so it's exactly the same, right? It's like every Facebook account we run, we are testing a couple core hypotheses as well as rolling out, you know, the top 10% of the top 10% of all the stuff that we've tested, right? So it's like the idea is the average initial performance gets better and better and better. Meanwhile, our sort of research learning curve is much sharper than anyone else because we're so hyper-focused. That's the idea, right? Uh-huh. Specifically in Facebook, you know, Facebook is interesting. Like Facebook is much closer to direct mail than it is to AdWords right now, especially in this industry. Like, and I don't know, like, you know, how much you've talked about this stuff with Dwight or whatever, but it's like this industry as a whole is very mail focused. Like they send a ton of postcards. They like send out, you know, like yellow letters. And I've never been in an industry that did so much mail. And so Facebook's very similar, right? Like, whereas in Google, We're targeting people based on intent. We've got their keyword. We have some sense of what they want. Facebook is very much like, okay, how do we segment the demographics to find the people that are most likely to respond to this, whether or not we know they want to sell or not, right? So it's our approach is very much based on that concept. We're going to do a lot of segmentation of the market demographically. Typically, we're doing that in a lot of like sort of rapid early testing. So we'll typically roll out like anywhere from 30 to 50 ad groups combined with like 1 to 2, maybe 3 test ad variations, creative variations. And we're going to test that as quickly as humanly possible. Typically, the goal in the first month or two is to get to a point, and it depends on their market, like what their audience size is, but we're trying to get to a point where we have a couple audiences we feel comfortable with that might be as low as 1,000 people or more, depending on their, again, their our market size. And then we're going to start rotating through those to sort of prevent
given that we're talking about things like a distressed seller, a for sale by owner type of individual, mm-hmm. how do you define a demographic that relates to that type of person?
Yeah, so that's interesting. So when you look at investing as a whole, right, there are certainly demographics that are more likely to use investors than others. That simply is a truth, right? So whether that is income level, race, certainly home ownership and certain types of homes, a lot of investors are focused on.
I'm trying to dig on, given that this is your niche, whether you have any, it's like with the AdWords, you have a significant level of intelligence on specifically what type of keywords work better than others, and you have that kind of knowledge across the different markets. I'm just wondering whether you have that in place yet for something like Facebook.
Yeah, so there doesn't seem to be, in terms of Facebook ads, there isn't the same sort of national level of consistency, which I think is the primary problem of the channel right now, right?
Right.
So, for example, if you are in Arizona, you are primarily going Hispanic, right? If you are in Connecticut, you are not, right? And so there is a real, rather than, say, like in AdWords, where I have a sense of in AdWords, okay, here are the top 10% keywords nationwide. And then there's going to be an outer ring of regional variation, right? Facebook is primarily regional variation with an outer ring of stuff that like is roughly consistent nationwide but doesn't consist of where most of the leads are going to come from. And so for Facebook, it's much less a matter of going in knowing what our five groups are going to be. Like I don't go in knowing what those five groups are going to be. Instead, what I do is go in knowing that there is going to be four or five demographic groups that rise to the top in terms of converting more often, lower lead cost, whatever it is. And the goal is to find them as rapidly as possible and cut everything else. Yeah. Right?
Okay. So I think the flip side of that question is, given that AdWords is intent-based because you're constructing your ad based on what somebody is explicitly looking for. Mm-hmm. When we're doing Facebook, you're in a interrupt mode, right? So they're not necessarily looking for anything.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on how the ad itself changes? Do you have any thoughts on how you would phrase an ad for a specific instance in AdWords? For a specific type of key phrase, an example maybe, and how you might then apply that if you were doing it in Facebook. Would the phraseology of the ad change, or would the nature of the ad change? And if so, how would it change?
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely has to change, right? Because in AdWords, the ad creation is very much based on the search term. Right, so it's hyper specialized, and we're typically only running one keyword per ad group specifically, so we can run 3 or 4 specific ad variations on it. Right, so it's just so targeted on that sort of core thing. Facebook is obviously, it's exactly like you said, it's not like that at all. Right, it's much more general. So that does a couple things, and to the traffic from that channel that are like really, really important to understand. Like for one, conversion rate on Facebook traffic, even a really well-targeted Facebook campaign, is not going to be what it is from AdWords traffic, specifically for that reason, right?
Clearly.
So close rates on Facebook traffic are much closer to the close rates on direct mail, which are probably around like 1 out of 30 nationwide rather than 1 out of 20, right? So you're already at a sort of higher volume, lower cost, lower conversion rate sort of traffic, whereas AdWords tends to be higher cost, higher conversion rate, lower volume. Yeah, so I mean, just to get to the ad specifically, you know, there's like a couple different schools of thought, and like I said, I don't think one has one hasn't emerged to as the winner to the point where I will roll out the same thing for like every client. But the general kind of approach is you're either going to take a direct or an indirect approach. The direct approach for investors is the same approach that they've used in direct mail, same approach they use in AdWords, same approach they've used in newspaper ads, same approach they use in TV ads, same approach they use in the signs that like they staple to telephone poles and all the crazy stuff that they do. And that's basically just putting a thing in front of someone that says, I buy houses, right? Some variation of that. We buy houses, I'll buy your house fast, I'll buy your house cash, sell your house for cash. Like these are like the tried and true, like everybody uses these, this kind of messaging, right? And that's still what tends to work the best because what that does is only attract the highly motivated folks, right? So you're sort of like accepting the fact that you are not getting a high click-through rate. You're accepting the fact that you are like sort of throttling your traffic volume in exchange for a better motivation level of the leads, right? Which can work very well. I think the other approach you can take and is sort of like the more experimental one, at least for this market, is the sort of classic like lead with content and then follow up with retargeting, right? So it's like, hey, like this, like the what is your house worth? Or like here's a home seller's guide, and then you're retargeting, right? You're sort of retargeting off the back of that content. And that works well for lead volume. It tends to generate what this market will call tire kickers, which is like people that are early enough in the selling cycle. So like, you know, in other industries, you have the buying cycle, right? In this industry, you have the selling cycle. If you're early in that cycle, you're interested in your home value, you're getting some offers, you're mulling it over. And investors, at least our clients, tend to get super frustrated with that, especially if they're paying for them, right? And they're like, I just need people who like need to sell their house tomorrow. And so I think there's a way to do the content thing. But because the leads are like so, the perceived quality of the lead, excuse me, from the client is so based on their urgency that it's like they're willing to sacrifice volume and long-term follow-up in exchange for immediate urgency. And I think there is a model where you lead with like what's your home worth, you lead with content, you've got a lot of automated email follow-up, and you sort of build a more traditional marketing model off of it. But like, very few of our clients have any sort of appetite for that. So typically we're going to go for like the bust down the door, we buy houses kind of thing. And it's primarily, you know, like we're split testing creative, we're split testing some copy, we're split testing videos, split testing images. But it's basically based on that theme, just because that's what people like, right? Or that's what the clients like, I should say. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So do you do much video, paid video advertising, like YouTube and stuff like that?
Yeah, we do sometimes. So YouTube is, so we've experimented a little with YouTube, and I just don't have enough evidence that there's a real audience for the motivated seller stuff. I think there is, but I don't, you know, we're not really doing much of anything. We might do some retargeting there. So primarily it's like Facebook is where we're going to launch video if we're doing it.
On the Facebook side, do you have a sense of how the cost per lead changes on Facebook as against something like AdWords? Is it like generally more expensive? What kind of number do you hit? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so it depends a lot on the market. So like the number one factor in all advertising I've seen in investing is that there's a ton of market variability, which makes sense because value of the deals varies wildly depending on the housing market, right? So the cost per lead, so cost per lead is usually significantly lower than AdWords on Facebook, right? So like I said, it's like typically a bigger audience, typically significantly lower cost per click, cost per lead, but roughly the same cost per deal, right?
Can you put a number on it?
Yeah, so probably would vary, you know, nationwide. The range is probably going to be anywhere from like $4 to $5 on the low end to $10 to $12 on the high end in terms of cost per click. And then cost per lead is typically going to be somewhere around $50 to $80 maybe. Those numbers might be skewed a little bit. I think my cost per click is too high in that range. But that $50 to $80 range is usually pretty common if you're looking at sort of qualified leads, whereas AdWords typically going to be between $100 and $150 a lead in right. the first like month or so. Right. So, yeah, I mean, it's around there. It's, you know, the other thing that's a little nice about it is that, you know, AdWords, you need kind of a fairly significant budget just to hang, like, throughout the day. Facebook, it seems to be able to sort of handle lower budgets. So, like, you can roll out with a $500 budget and actually run your ads fairly successfully over the course of the month, just because of the way the algorithm serves the ads. And, you know, Facebook's very good about kind of making sure that they get everybody's money, even if you have a tiny bit. Whereas because of the way that AdWords works, you know, you roll out with a small budget, a lot of times you don't even show up. Because your bids have to be so low, right? So it's more amenable to smaller spends. I think it's just one of those things where it's not, for me, it's not a first-tier channel for this niche yet. It's more like second place. But it's a good second place. I think it's certainly worth doing.
Hey, Dan, brilliant. You've answered my questions. I've got one last question, and that's just, can you give me a sense of, given that you focus on this niche, in terms of the sub-niches within this that you have focused on, how those would break down? So there's for sale by owner, there's distressed owner, so we're kind of characterizing different type of people or different needs. What would be the range of types of AdWords campaigns that you've done in the general macro niche? What would be that list? Am I clear in my question?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. So I'll answer it, and you can tell me if you were like, that's not what I meant at all. You have no idea what I'm talking about. Yeah, so, you know, I personally have done more or less like every corner of this at least once. Like, we've done buyers and turnkey investments and rentals and looking for renters and lease options and, like, all that stuff. So we've been kind of all over. Our focus right now is solely on motivated sellers, right? Like, that's all we do. That's what we want to be the best at. So for that, I would include anybody that's like a distressed seller, homes, you know, inherited homes, out-of-state owners, homes in foreclosure, that kind of stuff. It sort of falls under that motivated seller umbrella. Right. Something like for sale by owner, we have tested, but we haven't found to be particularly profitable. And again, it's like, it comes down to like the weirdness of the industry and like what people are looking for, right? So like, I think, and I've said this before, I think somebody could crush it. All they would have to do is do Facebook marketing to people that are trying to for sale by owner and just run ads that be like, doesn't it suck trying to sell your own house? Like, just let me buy your house. You know what I mean? Like, just, I think there's a style of marketing that could really do that well. But that's not typically what our clients are doing, right? They're just going for highest motivation level, because if you're closing like anywhere between $10,000 and $30,000 a deal, a lot of times they have very little patience for like dealing with that like slow burn lead that's going to become a lead 8 months from now, right? So, yeah, I mean, it's in terms of our focus, like what we do for people, what we launch, we're almost entirely focused on motivated sellers. Now, it's like if an existing client wants something specific, so like what will happen a lot of times is you know, we're working for someone with sellers, and they want us to put together a buyer's campaign. Like, we'll do that. Like, I have no problem doing that for existing clients, but it's just not something that's, like, a part of our standard service. It's just something that, like, would come up based on their needs.
Right. Got it. Cool. Dan, thank you.
Yeah, no problem, man. It was my pleasure. I never get to talk to anybody
you don't?
That does basically what we do, so it's, like, super fun. You know what I mean?
Oh, so do you not find that you partner with other companies with all these other people that you're working with? Doesn't it come up very often that you're partnering with some, like, us?
Almost never.
Organic?
Yeah. Almost never.
Really?
Yeah, almost never.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I mean, so, well, I think it's a couple reasons, right? So it's like, I think, and honestly, this is really weird, because, I mean, you can tell, like, I'm a very open person. Like, I don't, you know, like, we're like the only people that really focus on the niche specifically does AdWords. And so I'm like, I'm very open with what we do and how we do it, because I'm like, whatever, you know, like, I'm not really worried about people, like, you know, quote unquote, like, stealing our stuff.
Because likewise. That's very shallow thinking.
Exactly. It's like, I don't, you know, whatever. But because it's such a small world, and investing is a very small world, like, everybody knows everybody, and so it's like, there's all this sort of, like, weird, like, I think people are worried about, like, weird backhanded stuff. So, like, if you find out, like, which company I'm working with, and we're in the same market, like, you're going to go and, like, hire that company or pay them more, and you're going to take them away from me.
Right, yeah.
Like, that's the mindset, right?
Right.
And I think it's, like, that's partially on the clients. I think it's also partially on, you know, there's like one or two other companies, like Generation Web's a big one that does online marketing, and they're primarily organic, right?
Right.
And it's like, I would love to work with them, but it's like, they never, no one's ever brought it up. So I'm like, okay, like, it's cool. Like, you know, if you want our search term data or something, like, let me know. But like, no one ever reaches out. So it's like, I don't know, man. It's weird. It, you know, you ask about it, and it seems weird, but I actually haven't even really thought about it. It's just kind of been the way that it is.
100% of my business is referrals. 50% of that is referrals through partnering with other companies. So, you know, I've learned the value of playing well and with other companies that provide some service that we don't really want to do. And I went through a phase a few years ago where I was trying to be full service, and whatever the client wanted we would do, but you kind of learn that you don't get efficiencies that way, and you don't really get good at any one thing because you're hopping around. So I've learned it's much better to do what we're doing here, which is I'll do AdWords for a client where, for example, we might want to test the viability of a particular type of key phrase and see whether we can get business out of it before we make the effort to rank organically for it. And if you can do AdWords and you can get business out of AdWords, then it's a no-brainer that you're going to get more if you can rank organically for it. So it gives me a kind of quick yardstick to ascertain the real value of a key phrase for a particular client. So we do it very tactically, but it's not something we really want to be spending a lot of time on or specialize on or get really good at. So I'd much rather, same thing with Facebook. I'd much rather work with somebody that focuses on those things.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, it's like, I feel the exact same way and have almost like the exact same experience. Like when I got started, I was like, everything computers. And then I was like, websites and online marketing. And then they're like, drop websites. And then we're like, online marketing. And then we're like, just AdWords. And it's like, just AdWords for real estate investors. Like every time I focused more, I made more money because we got better, right? It's like, so why be the jack of all trades that like kind of okay at everything? I think it just makes much more sense. I don't know, man. It's like a lot of people are very short-term thinking about that kind of stuff, and they're very like scarcity mindset kind of thing.
Yes.
And it's
exactly what
you
I
know.
Was
it's funny.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
It's like I refer people to our competitors like literally all the time, like probably like twice a day, where I'm like, hey, like you don't really have the budget, but hey, this other guy does what we do, and he charges a lot less, and blah blah blah, because I'm just like, everyone's going to remember that I did that, and that I You know what I mean? And so it just is like this weird thing. But I don't know, man. It's a weird industry. It really is. And even marketing, online marketing as a whole can be very weird. So, you know, I don't know. I take your point. And, like, yeah, if you ever want to chat about organic PPC overlap, I preach that, like, all the time and no one ever listens. Like, no one ever listens to me. So I'm like, take the search query data from AdWords and use it to drive your content marketing. Like, if you are targeting stuff organically, let us know so we can run ads on it, because, you know, there's research that shows that, like, organic listings get, like, 15 to 20% more clicks when they also run an ad. Like, all this stuff, and everyone's like, yeah, totally, sounds cool, and then I never hear back from it. So it's like, I'm always down to talk about that stuff or help out with that stuff.
So here's a controversial observation, and that is that I see a correlation between organic ranking and AdWords, which is what everybody says, nope, there's none at all, right?
Yeah.
But the correlation is indirect, which is if you're running a really good AdWords campaign and it drives sticky traffic, it's the bounce rate overall on the site, and it's the interaction on the site that helps the organic ranking. It's not that you're doing AdWords, because you can actually do AdWords and do a not particularly great campaign, and you can damage organic. Yeah.
So you think that, so basically, is your hypothesis is that Google's watching, so, like, it's a common thing that people will say or think, right, that, like, if you are 100% organic, you're typing in an organic search phrase, you're clicking on an organic thing, and you're pogo-sticking between sites, right, so you, like, didn't find the answer, you pop back. I think most people think that Google factors that into the algorithm for the ranking of those individual sites, right?
Oh.
So is your theory that they also do that via paid? So if I click the paid ad and I pogo stick back, Google, like, is like, got it, and they incorporate that into the organic ranking for them?
And algorithmically, and just think of it in the context of Google wants to provide the most relevant result for a given key phrase. So whatever evidence is available that suggests this is a valuable result for this key phrase, it's going to take that into account, because that's the driver for their revenue, which is we must provide the most relevant result. So it doesn't matter where the evidence comes from, it's going to take it into account.
Yeah, I guess the question at that point, right, is like, why would they not do that? And I guess the only answer would be like, well, if they really wanted to prove, like, hey, there's no connection between our paid and organic services.
They don't do they?
No, they're
just going to say
Google doesn't really need to do anything at this point. They're basically going to be all right.
I don't think it matters where the traffic comes from. It's just the algorithm is going to, you know, it's the issue of weighting. It's probably not got the same weighting as direct organic, for sure. But, you know, I've seen a correlation between a crappy AdWords campaign and sudden drop in organic ranking. The reverse of it.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I buy that absolutely, and it's funny because I would tell people that, but I'm like, I don't necessarily. I'm not going to say that because I'm like, I don't want to say something I don't absolutely know. But I think I buy that argument 100%.
I'd say it, but I'd say, you know, it's a hypothesis. It's not something I can prove empirically, absolutely, but I certainly see evidence that that is the case. So,
yeah,
you know, I think that's fair. Enough times, you just get a organic has to be done that way. You see it enough times, you get a feel for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it is the nature of organic.
It is very much so, man. It's like I did paid organic for a long time, and like when I got out of it, it's like one of the things I like the most about AdWords is like it's much more cut and dried, whereas organic was like, I was felt like I was trying to justify myself a little bit, and it's like kind of like, and I may have just had bad clients too. I did not, especially in my early days, I did not do a good job of like filtering clients at all. Like I would just, oh, you have money? Like I will, you have money, but you're a psychopath? Let's work together. That sounds awesome. You know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And this was super fun. Super,
that was brilliant. That was really helpful. Just what I needed. Thank you.
All right, cool, man. Yeah, let us know, and I will talk to you soon.
Cheers.
And, hit me up if you have any questions.
All right, cheers. Bye.